We're holding now in the Tekufa called the Arba Parshiyos. The Mishnah in Megillah says that the week at the Shabbos at the beginning or right before is Chodesh Adar, the Parshiyos Shkolim, and then the Shabbos before Purim is Zachar, and the Shabbos after Purim is Purim, and then the Shabbos right before or on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is HaChodesh. That's what we're up to now. There's a similar Shulchan Aruch about this, and Tuf Resh Pei Hei talks about the four of them, the calculations, how to figure out when to do each one. And then the end of the siman, the last sif, the Mechaber writes that two out of these four, Zachar and Para, are Dereisa. So you have to be very careful. But those, to hear them with a minion, make sure not to miss them. He mentions two, Zachar and Para. The Shavur brings down that whereas Zachar, that's widely accepted. Everybody knows where that's coming from. It's a mitzvah of the Torah, Zachar, Sashar, Salah, HaMalik. It says the mitzvah of Zachir, HaMalik. We're Mekayim that mitzvah when we lean Parsha Zachar. So we understand why the Mechaber says it's Dereisa. Para, when he says that Para is Dereisa, he says that's really strange. Everybody, the Achareinim will say they don't know where he got that from. There doesn't seem to be a makor for it, or a svar for it, or a reason. What should make it deraisa? And that we're basically not chayshish for it. It's more or less dismissed, this chiddush of the Mechaber, with regards to Parshas Para. Now, what's the nafkamina to say that it's deraisa or it's not deraisa? So the Mishmur talks about one nafkamina, which he says may or may not be a real nafkamina, like Abba Mitzvah Tzviches Kavana. There is an opinion that Dereisas have a Mitzvah Tzviches Kavana, Derabbanans don't have a Mitzvah Tzviches Kavana. The Mishmur personally doesn't agree with that opinion. In Simon Samach, he writes that he has a long piece in the Bir Halacha where he writes that there's proofs from Rishonim against that position, but there is such a position in the Radvaz, it's brought down in the Magen Avraham. So the Mishmur here in Tefresh Behei says that might potentially be the Nafkamina. There is a more relevant nafkamina, which is actually it's quite relevant dafka to the kriyas ha-teira of Zachar and Para, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. There's a minug. It's a minug in America. I'm not sure if the minug goes back earlier than that, but there's a very widespread minug nowadays that when a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he leans his bar mitzvah parsha. Bar mitzvah boys like to lean their bar mitzvah parsha.
I was in Switzerland too when I was growing up.
Okay. Okay, that takes it, I guess, a little bit.
Just an American.
But Shaila is, how long was it in Switzerland? Switzerland has more of a history than America, but when did they start doing it? I don't know, I'm not saying that, but I'm not aware that it's an old minhag. But be that as it may, there's a very widespread minhag that a bar mitzvah boy lanes the bar mitzvah parasha. Now, when we say a bar mitzvah boy, we mean the Shabbos after he turns 13, the Shabbos on or after his 13th birthday. But as we know, if you've learned a little bit of Gemara, or Mishnayos even, there's really two things that make the transition from a katan to a gadol. There's shanim and simanim. You have to be 13 years old, and you also have to have started puberty. And the shear for that, the Chazal give, is shtei saris, by makam erva. That's the shear, what's called simanim, that indicates that somebody is a gadol. If you have one without the other, shanim without simanim, really doesn't make you a gadol. So we celebrate the bar mitzvah, we book the hall a few weeks in advance, months in advance, and we say, yeah, he's going to be bar mitzvah then. We really have no idea if he's going to be bar mitzvah then. But the truth is that in the Gemara, Rabbi says that there's a chazakah, there's an assumption that's around when the simanim comes. So once a child is 13 years old, he probably has simanim. Now, if one knows that that the child doesn't have simanim, then he's really not a gadol. And then there's a discussion about whether we would assume that maybe he did have it and it fell out. But the bottom line, halacha, is that there's this assumption that we work with, and it's good enough for derabbanans. For derabbanans, we rely on this chazaka derabba, that if he came to the shanim of Yigimol Shanim, then he probably was also maybe simanim. For deraisas, we don't rely on that. For deraisas, if you need to know if the boy's a gadol, you have to check. Obviously, that's not practical. It's not, it's embarrassing and polite and proper, whatever. So we just don't bother. We just don't assume We don't rely on a 13-year-old kid to be a bar mitzvah boy, legabe deraisas. And what does that mean, legabe deraisas? It's not negative for all that much. Kriyas HaTeira, we let him lane. Because he's probably a gadol, and if he's not a gadol kid, but it's only a derabbanon, Kriyas HaTeira is a derabbanon. He davens for the Amud. Davening for the Amud is not being mighty anybody in any deraisas. It's not really doing much of anything. Everybody davens for themselves. But he says Kaddish, you know, Baruch Hu. That's all derabbanons. You let him lead the benching by his bar mitzvah, or that's Shabbos, right? A lot of people like to let the boy lead the benching. So that's really interesting. In the olden days, that the one that led the benching really was mitzi people in benching, and benching is a deraisa, that you can't do with a bar mitzvah boy, right? Unless you check that he was maybe simanim. Okay, one second. But nowadays, that we don't do that with benching. Nowadays, the leader just says Rabbi Sai, and he says Nevar Shachal Mishalai, so he helps us in the Birkas HaZimun, but everybody says the Shalish Brachis, the Birkas HaMazim for themselves. So again, it's not again in Deirai, he says. Kiddush, that Kiddush does a nice Hara. Kiddush is Chivin Rebbe Kivegar, where he says that you really can't rely on a Bar Mitzvah boy for Kiddush, right? It's Negeya, and in a intact family, so the father is making Kiddush, and he's Maitzi the whole family. If the boy wants to make Kiddush for himself, very nice, he's just being Maitzi himself. Rebbe Kivegar writes about a situation where the father's not alive, and the mother, so calls man that she didn't have a bar mitzvah boy at home, so she was making Kiddush. But, you know, now she's so happy, she's excited, her little boy just turned 13, and now she feels like there's a man in the house again, and he can be mitzi her and the other children in Kiddush. Kivegar says, not so fast, that, you know, because Kiddush is deraisa, and you can't necessarily rely on him being a godly. Rebbe Kivegar has an eitzah about how she has to say... Shabbos Day Kiddush is not an issue. That's a Shana Day, right? So.
He just mentioned.
Right, he's talking about Friday night Kiddush. Yes. Yeah. Mishi Yeshne B'Shamer Yeshne B'Zachar. So women are chayav in Kiddush.
The same umdina doesn't work there?
No, because we only rely on it for Drabbanans. For the races, we don't rely. So if one would check again over there, or, you know, it's at home, it's in a family. Maybe, you know, it's not the end of the world. Rebbe Kivegar discusses in the Tshuva a little bit of what really made the problem. This is the what he has in Arichas about in his Tshuva. There was a sefer who came to town, and he was using apprentices, and the apprentices were teenagers. Now, when I say that a bar mitzvah boy, we're choshesh that he may not really be bar mitzvah. So till when? That's on his 13th birthday. Till when? He's 13 and if he's 14 years old. When do we stop worrying about this? So the answer is when we see facial hair. Because the teva is that the pubic hair comes before the facial hair. So once you see facial hair, then you know for sure that he's a gadol. But until then, he's in this suffix, and we have a chazaka derabba that for derabbanans we don't have to check, we can just rely on it. So Rabbi Kivegar was, his tshuva is about a sefer who was using teenagers as his apprentices in his shop. And they're, let's say, fixing up letters. Now, Mishi Yeshnei B'Kshira Yeshnei B'Ksiva, the tefillin, have to be written by someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah. And this is Negei Dei Raisis. I'm going to come in and I'm going to buy tefillin from that sefer. I have a real chayiv tefillin. My tefillin have to be kosher on a Dei Raisa level. And he had kids, if they were ketanim, for sure be no good. But he had kids, you know, in this in-between stage, young teenagers that were fixing up the tefillin. So Rabbi Kivegar says that's a serious issue. I don't think so, but I'll tell you the truth. I'm not really. I can't really say for sure. I don't know enough.
It's not about supervising what he's done. It's not
about. Okay. So here are some nafkamim again. So you have that case of Kiddush. In the case of, you know, of somebody whose father died, you have this tefillin case, we can figure out a tshuva, but halacha l'maiser, like what's a shchiach tikka nafkamina from all this, the biggest nafkamina is the kriyas hater of a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy who's bar mitzvah parasha is parasha zachar. So the whole show, you know, every week of the year you have, you know, let's say, Parshas Bereishis, you have a boy who's becoming Bar Mitzvah, good, let him lean the whole Parsha, and the Maftir, and the Haftarah, and everything, and it's fun, it's all the Rabbanans, and we rely on the Chazaka Derabba. But if it's Parsha Zachar, where the maftir is to be yaitz in the midst of the rights of Zachar, and we're relying on the Balkari to be maitzi to Rabbi Medeche Vasan, so there you can't, since it's considered deraisa, you can't let the bar mitzvah boy, again, we're not talking about a cut, like a real katam, but even a bar mitzvah boy, he's 13 years old. But unless you're going to, you know, go and check, the rabbi is going to, you know, go take a look, and which nobody, you know, nobody wants to do that. So you can't have him lane Zachar. He could lane the Shiva Kruim, and then you have to get somebody else to lane Zachar. So that's true for Parsha Zachar. And I think pretty much all, you know, all Paiskim hold that way, and, you know, shuls will be makban on that, that if your son is getting by Mr. Parsha Zachar, the Rav will tell you, you could do the Shiva Kruim, you can't do him after. What's more debatable is what about a bar mitzvah and Parshas Para? That's where this machlokes that we began with will come into play. According to what the Machaber says, that Para is also deraisa, so you shouldn't let the bar mitzvah boy lane. The Mishnah Berurah writes that nobody really agrees with the Machaber. Everybody says it's very sure. We don't know where it comes from. It's a difficult chiddush of the Machaber. So according to that psak of the Mishnah Berurah, you should be able to let the bar mitzvah boy lane Para. Practically speaking, I think that what I've heard, the Hayra that I've heard, is that it's best not to. Even though it's true, it's considered a Shvera Machaber, but, you know, what's the big emergency? Like, if push came to shove, I mean, if the Shaila would be presented in such a way that this child, he's gonna, you know, he's gonna be devastated, and, you know, so, like, make it some kind of a Shasat Chak, there's definitely what to be Samech on. The Mishnah Berurah says that you know, most places can hold that it's not Deraisa. But all things being equal, they just come and say, should he lay in the 7 aliyahs or 8 aliyahs? So really, you should say, you should lay in 7 aliyahs, not do para. I had this. I had one of my sons was by Mr. Parshas Para. So he lay in the Shiva Kruim, and then somebody else lay in the Maftir.
And he didn't get Maftir either, right?
Good question. I don't remember.
Probably not.
Did he get the aliyah from Maftir? I don't remember. You say probably not. I say probably yeah.
Because that's what I've seen. I just saw this week, this year.
This Pesach Shabbos?
This is Parsha Zachar. So
yeah. Oh, Zachar. By Zachar, there's more of a machlok to say. Marsha, you know, my son was over to Parsha's Para.
Para.
Over there was really just Lechumra that we didn't have him. He didn't mind. I think that he did get the aliyah, but I can't say I remember for sure. I have to ask him if he remembers. Anyway, so this is a nafkamina in this shayla. Really, it's a very relevant nafkamina. But weird does it. The Mishnah Berurah says that nobody accepts this chiddush of the Machaber because it has no makar. So if you want to know a makar of the Machaber didn't write things with no makar. The Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, is really just a digest of his longer sefer, the Beis Yosef. So you should be able to find all of the makaris in the Beis Yosef. In the Beis Yosef, he says that yeah, it's an afan a Tosfos. Tosfos in Brachas Daf Yud Gimel. Now the Gemara over there is talking about the Gemara brings down a machlokes where the Kriya Shema has to be said in Lashon Kodesh or could be said even in other languages. Machlokes Rabbi in the Rabbanon. Each one learns the sheet from a pasuk, and then the Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says to each one, you have a pasuk teaching you that Kriya Shema, let's say, could only be said b'lashon kodesh. That implies that kol tara kula b'chaloshin emra. Or the other man, the Amar, you have a pasuk teaching you that Kriya Shema could be read b'chaloshin. That implies that kol tara kula b'lashon kodesh emra. The Gemara keeps on challenging each time. What are you going to say about kol tara kula? If you have this opinion about Kriya Shema, so what does that imply about kol tara kula? Like, what language do you do the rest of the Torah? So what does that mean? What language do you do the rest of the Torah? I mean, the Torah is written the way it's written. I can learn it however I want to learn it. What mitzvah are we discussing when we talk about what language is the rest of the Torah in? So Rashi says it means Kriyas HaTorah. It means that when you do the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, should that be in Lashon Kodesh or B'chol Lashon? That's the issue in that Gemara. Tosfos says that's a very shver pshat because the Gemara over there is discussing Psukim, so obviously we're dealing on a Deraisa level, and Kriyas HaTorah is not a Deraisa. The Takana of Kriyas HaTorah that you take a Sefer Torah out in the shul and you lane 3 aliyahs, 7 aliyahs, that's all the Rabbanans. It's Takana, it happens to be a very old Takana. We mentioned, I think Parshas Bashalach, we had a shir on this topic because the the Gemara makes a drasha based on the Pesukim Parashat B'Shalach, that is that Kriyas HaTorah, it says that they went 3 days, V'Leimatu Mayim, Eimayim El HaTorah, and the Kriyas HaTorah, the original Kriyas HaTorah, is a takana from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is, I guess, as old as it can get as a takana, but still, that's just a, it's still just a derabbanan. That's not a deraisa if it's a takana's Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosfos says that Rashi's pshat can't be the right pshat. So Tosfos says that when the Gemara talks about what language do you do the rest of the Torah in, it means when there's a mitzvah that includes a reading part. Like what? Like a mitzvah of chalitza. When you do chalitza, so there's the pulling off the shoe, and there's the spitting, and there's also speaking parts. There's a certain psukim, the Yavam is supposed to say, me'ein yivami l'hakam l'shem l'achiv, and the Yavam is supposed to say, what's the lesson that he says? I don't remember. He also has a
Bikurim.
Bikurim. Very good, right? Mikra Bikurim also. But when a person brings Bikurim, there's a speaking part. Arami Avid Avivir Mitzrayma, etc., right? The whole series of psukim they're familiar with from the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Vidu Maestrais, Saita, Eglarufa. All of the there's a handful of mitzvahs that involve recitation of psukim. Like Kriyishma. Kriyishma is a mitzvah that involves recitation of psukim. So Dr. Tezis, when the Gemara makes this contrast of Kriyishma versus Kol Torah Kula, it means the other mitzvahs that have some kind of a recitation from the Torah. But what Rashi said that it means Kriyas HaTorah is very shver. Tezis says that's very shver. But the only thing I could do, Tezis says, to salvage this pshat of Rashi, Dr. Tezis says, two words, and the way the Beis Yosef quotes the Tosfos is that Rashi will make sense by Parashas Zachar Upara. That's what Tosfos says, Zachar Upara, because there the Kriyas HaTorah is Deraisa. So the Beis Yosef says that in that Tosfos, I see that Tosfos holds that Zachar Upara Deraisa. Even though Tosfos doesn't hold that's the right pshat in the Gemara, he just says that to be Miyashiv Rashi. But when he's looking for a Kriyas HaTorah that's Deraisa, he says he has two examples. So you see that Tosfos held that these two Kriyas HaTorah are Deraisa. So the Beis Yosef says, I found it in a Tosfos, so he writes it down in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I'm not making up anything new, I'm just telling you what it says in Tosfos. The problem is that if you open up your Gemara, Brachas Daf Gimel, you'll find this exact Tosfos that I just spoke out, missing one word. It says over there Zachar, but it doesn't say Para. So the Gra, the Birah Gra writes that He says nusuch muta nizdamen lai, that he had that the Beis Yosef must have had a faulty text in his Tosfos. It doesn't say that in Tosfos. Tosfos just says that the example of a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa is Zachar, and you know Tosfos, you know, like all the Svarim, everything was handwritten. They hired kids to write them over. They hired sometimes women also to write over these manuscripts. The Gemaras, the Mefarshim on the Gemara was a Vaibisha job. So somebody, when he was writing it over, he or she was writing it over, they stuck in an extra word by accident in their head. Zachar and Parah were associated, so somebody stuck in it by mistake, Zachar and Parah. But it's just a wrong nusach. But the correct nusach of Tosfos is without that word, and after all, look in our Gemaras we have it without that word. That's what the Gra says. Now, but the Gra, Kvodei b'mkoyme munach, but we have some resources that he didn't have. Nowadays, you learn Masechet Brachos, you have a few other Maduris of Tosfos. There's a Tosfos HaRosh, which was only discovered in the 1800s. I don't know exactly when, but the Gra didn't learn Tosfos HaRosh. And then there's the Tosfos that's called Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which I think nowadays they say is not really Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. It's really a different Rabbi Yehuda Sir Leon, who was a Talmud of the Re. He was called Sir Leon, like Sir Lion. Yehuda is a lion. Yehuda the Aryeh. He was French. So your Yehuda Sir Leon, and he
Leon.
Like
Sir Leon steak.
Sir Leon.
Leon is a city in France.
Yeah.
Maybe he came from
Sir
there.
Sir Leon, yeah, above Leon somewhere.
Maybe he came from there, but that probably also means lion. I'm saying that the name of the city probably also comes from lion. His name is Yehuda. That's probably where the lion comes from. And he was Miyasa the Yeshiva in Paris. That is more well known for Rabbi Chiel. Rabbi Chiel mi Paris is very famous, but he was a Talmud of the Rabbi Chiel just early on. Anyway, he wrote. We have a version of Tosis from him. We have a version of Tosis from the Rosh, and in all of them it says Parshas Zachar u Parshas Parah. So it wasn't the same Balabasta that was writing over these three different manuscripts in three different cities in three different centuries that, you know, and all made the same mistake in all of them.
Was it really women who wrote?
Sometimes.
Did
yeah. I guess some, I don't know. That's a good point. How many of them? I'm sure there were many that didn't. Right, I'm sure there were many that didn't. This would have to be a literate woman, and many were not. That's true. I don't know where I heard that. I can't vouch for it, but I've heard that said that it was a Baibusha profession. Yeah, no, but he's right. You know, back then, you know, I'm saying once upon a time, women were much less literate than they are now. But there were some. Very little. Right? The Magen Avraham says that, yeah, in a lot of places, the place can refer to how the women, you know, there were.
Because you don't have to know a lot.
They didn't have Siddurim. In the times of the Baalei Taisus, there were no Siddurim.
So the women didn't know Adam.
Right. They said it. Yeah. Okay, so the.
Where's my
It's already. It's recorded. Yeah, yeah. In the other Baalei HaTosis, they all have Zachar Upara. So it's not a mistake. There was a real idea that was current in the yeshivas of the Baalei HaTosis that Parshas Parah is deraisa. There's no getting around the fact that there was such a view among the Baalei HaTosis. So, and the Beis Yosef had such a tesis, and he brings it down in the Shulchan Aruch. So it has a source. But having a source is not the same as having an explanation. Again, so the Gro who said, oh, he just found a faulty version of a tesis, that seems to not be right. But what a lot of the other Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch said, that, you know, you may have a tesis that says it, but I don't know where tesis got it from. There's no, like, where in the Torah does it come from? Where in the Gemara does it come from? Where would tesis have had him occur for such an idea? That remains a mystery. What would make Parshas Parah deraisa? It's a mystery that there's been a number of suggestions that were made about this mystery. This what?
It's a
chayk. Okay, yeah, Parah is a chayk. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a chayk, but Tais is not supposed to make a chayk about the chayk. So there's a answer which is found in two Achronim from the 1800s, 1800s to 1900s. It's a little bit of a creative chop with multiple steps, and the same chop with the same steps is found in the Malbim and in the Torah Tamima. Now, when I say in the Malbim, so the Malbim is. He's best known, of course, for his Pirushim on Tanakh, on Torah, and Nevi'im Uksuvim. That's really his... What?
It was a Rishon.
No, 1800s.
Malbim?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Malbim, Meir Leibish Ben Yechiel Michal, I think, is Malbim. And he was in the 1800s. In fact, I think I once had an anecdote of his in my sukkah. I mean, he alleged there was a guy in my... There was a guy that... used to hang around in yeshiva a little bit, and not from men that lived in Kew Gardens. They used to wander into yeshiva sometimes, and I went to my sukkah, and his name was Martin Bernstein, if I'm not mistaken. And he said his first cousin was Leonard Bernstein, the conductor. So, and he was an artist. It was a very talented family. This guy, he said, his name was Martin. I remember when he knew nothing, much nothing. I would say Baruch Ata, there was no recognition. But he told me that he was he said his name was Meir Leibish, as he was Martin. He said his Hebrew name was Meir Leibish, and he was descended from the Malbim. Yeah. That he knew. Which probably means that Leonard Bernstein was also descended from the Malbim. I don't know if he knew it though. The Malbim was most known for his writings on Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. On Taira, it's really his Pirush is mostly trying to bridge Taira Shebichtav and Taira Shebaalpeh, trying to explain how Chazal came to their drushas. Right? You have a lot of times Yafusis in the Gemara that seems so bizarre to us. And his Sefer was primarily devoted to trying to explain how Chazal derived their drushas from the Pesukim. But in some places, it's also a broader commentary on the Pesukim themselves, and certainly in Nevi'im Uksuvim, that's what it is. It's just a commentary on the Pesukim. So one could get the impression that he was just, you know, a darshan. He was into Jewish, he was into, you know, learning Tanakh and saying Chetlach, but he was really from the Gedalia Paiskim of his time. He was a tremendous Paisik. And he began as a young man to write on Inyanei Halacha, and then for some reason, which is a mystery, for some reason he switched. He stopped and he switched. He put out, when he was in his early 20s, he put out a really, really impressive sefer on the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, the first 42 simanim, I think. It's still the end of Hilchos Tefillin. I think it's 41 or 42 simanim. But very impressive. Like it's just on a few simanim of Shulchan Aruch, but he has long discussions over there that go through Kol Mektzoyei Satayra, and he shows a tremendous mastery on Rishenim, Achreinim, all over. And he got very glowing haskamas from the Gedalia Hadar. And presumably it was meant as the first installment, the first volume of a longer work. That's what you have to assume if you wrote something on the beginning of Aruch Chaim. But then he stopped. There was some, I don't know if there was a story behind it or he just felt that this was his calling. I mean, definitely the fact that he devoted himself to Tanakh had to do with the fact that, you know, the reform, somebody needed to write something compelling to combat the accusations and the charges of the maskilim and the reformers, and that's really what he devoted himself to. But be that as it may, in this one volume that we have of his writings on halacha, it's called Arzei Sachayim. So in Simon Aleph, he has pulpulim, he often goes off topic. So he finds himself in Simon Aleph Eis Dalet in the section called Eretz Yehuda. He finds himself discussing this issue of why Parshas Para will be considered Deraisa according to Tosfos. And he writes a pshat. And the Torah Tamima, now he published this in 1835, I think. He was around 25 years old, and that's when he published it. The Torah Tamima, he says the exact same pshat. The Torah Tamima, you could find this vart in his Pirush on Parshas Chukas at the end of the perek on Parah Aduma. He writes this pshat, and he published it in 1902, about 65 something years later. So obviously the Malbim said it first, and it seems likely that he was mushba. I mean, the Malbim's one sefer on halacha was a popular sefer, even if it's not so much anymore. But I mean, at the time, it surely was. But there's a very interesting piece in the Torah Tamima. Again, you know, finding the Torah Tamima says it on his own, as his own pshat. So I think it's kedai to point out that in the Torah Tamima's Hakdama, he has a fascinating little small paragraph at the end. He has a long, long Hakdama. At the end of his Hakdama, he has a fascinating paragraph where he says, you know, I'm working on this sefer for a long time, like 15 years. I'm working on this sefer. And during this time, I was really throwing myself into the research head first, and I came across a lot of things. I saw so many things on so many topics, and I try to be organized, and I write things down, and I try to keep track of who said what. But sometimes, he says, because of the hamoin rayonos sha'olu b'roshi, something like that, he says, it could be that sometimes I lost track of what I got where, and it could be that there are things that I'll, you know, so that he says that's why you might sometimes find that you'll be reading my sefer and you'll see a vert that I'm claiming as my own and you'll recognize it as being a different sefer and you'll think that I'm plagiarizing it. And he says you shouldn't think so. And he writes something fascinating. He says, if you know what a big tzaddik my father was, what he said, if you know what a big tzaddik my father was, you wouldn't believe it's possible that he would have a son who would sink to that. And therefore, Kippur, you should be done in the Kavos Lechos, that I just got overwhelmed by all the information in my head, and therefore I just forgot. That's a very roundabout, elaborate way of explaining that sometimes you know, I'm human, I forget things. Anyway, but that's what happened. He apparently saw this in the Malbim and he forgot, but he has this whole explanation about why he sometimes forgot things. So be that as it may, they both write this pshat. Presumably the Malbim, the Torah's Mimim got it from the Malbim, but he says it as follows. There are a few mitzvahs, and a few times in the Torah where the Torah says you have to remember something. Right? In some Siddurim, there's a page with the Sheish Zechirais. So you have to remember the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's the mitzvah Deiraisa. Zachar Zimah Shabbos Kashya. That's the mitzvah Deiraisa. We talked about earlier in the Shir that's the mitzvah of Kiddush. There's Zachar Zimah Shabbos Kashya. It's also Meir Mechayacha is the mitzvah Deiraisa of Zachir Yisrael, which we do every day and night, right? Only on Yom, right? The light of the nine. Kol Yom Mechayacha. Okay, there's a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, which we do perhaps, you know, once a year, but that also, those three are clearly mitzvahs d'oraisa. They're included in the Taryag mitzvahs. All of the Mayne mitzvahs, you know, the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch and any other count of Taryag mitzvahs that you'll open up will have...
These three.
Actually, I take that back. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though it is a mitzvah, it's not included in everybody's count. But okay, but be that as it may. But la halacha, we'll treat it as a mitzvah. So, but it's pretty straightforward that Zechiras Shabbos, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Zechiras HaMalek count as a mitzvah. Then there's the Zachar Eis Asher Asa Hashem Alekecha LeMiriam. That the Rambam didn't count as a mitzvah. The Ramban says, why not? I think it's a mitzvah. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Torah says, remember what happened to Miriam. And the Ramban talks about it in two places. One on the Pasuk, in his Pirush on Devarim. This is the Pasuk in Parashas Ki Tzeitzei. And over there, in his Pirush on Al HaTorah, he speaks this out. He says that I consider it one of the Taryag mitzvahs. And he also writes it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Ramban has Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and there's a section we've talked about before called the Shikchas HaEssen, where he adds those Essen that he thinks the Rambam left out that should have been included. And the seventh one in the Shikchas HaEssen is this mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. What's that mitzvah? So the Ramban says, it's the inyan of the mitzvah is that it's a mitzvah about to be careful about Lashon Hara. That's the mitzvah. That you remember what Hashem did to Miriam as a result of her Aveira, and you should get from that a Hisayru is not to tell Lashon Hara. Ramban says that, if you think about it, in the Gemara, you see that Lashon Hara is a major big deal in Yiddishkeit. The Gemara says very, very strong statements about the severity of the Yisrael Lashon Hara. But in the Torah Shebichsav, where is it? Where is there a mitzvah, a say or a leisase in the Taryag mitzvahs about Lashon Hara? Could it be, he says, hayitochin, that a mitzvah the Chazal say is shkula k'neged avodah zarah gilirei shvichas damim doesn't have a mitzvah in the Taryag mitzvahs? So he says, my answer to that is Zachar Yisrael Shrasa Hashem L'kach L'Miriam. The mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Miriam is a mitzvah to be nizir in Lashon Hara. And he quotes a sefra that darshens it, that it says Zachar, it says Shrasa Hashem L'kach L'Miriam. So Zachar B'peh, you have to verbally speak it out. Or maybe you'll say that no, it's only believe. The previous pasuk says Hishomer B'nega Tzaras, so that's already believe. That's to remember, believe, how Hashem punishes with Tzaras for Lashon Hara. So when it follows up in the following pasuk, Zachar, it says Shrasa Hashem L'kach L'Miriam, so that's B'peh. So the Ramban he's mechadish this mitzvah called Zechiras Maisa Miriam. Then, at the end of the paragraph, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, again, the Shikchas HaSem, when the Ramban, in Mitzvah Zion, he says Zechiras Miriam is a mitzvah in the Taryag Mitzvahs. Then at the end of the paragraph, he says, and you know, I suspect that there might be another mitzvah along these lines that the Ramban left out. One of the Sheish Zechiras is Zachar. I might be missing a word in the pasuk. The parashas Ekev Zachar Eisasher Ktsafta Es Hashem Alekecha. So Be'erach, those are the words.
Zachar Al Tishkach Es Hashem Ktsafta Es Hashem Alekecha.
Okay, very good. Zachar Al Tishkach Eisasher Ktsafta Es Hashem Alekecha Ba Midbar. So that's a mitzvah remembering the Ma'aseh HaEgel. Asher Ketzaf, that you anger at Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar, that's the Ma'aseh HaEgel. So there's a mitzvah to remember the Ma'aseh HaEgel. How come nobody counts that in the Minyan Mitzvahs? Why don't we do that? Why don't we implement that mitzvah? So Ramban says, at the end of his paragraph, he writes, I think that might also be a mitzvah in the Targum, says, but I'm not sure. There I could hear that maybe that mitzvah, remember, Eitz Asher Hiktzafta, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking in Parashas Ekev to the Maktifim, to those that sinned at the Egel. In other words, just to the Dur of the Midbar. And to them, he said, you better remember what you did. Is it a mitzvah of the J-Race? Maybe not. So the Ramban says, I'm not sure. Maybe it was only a mitzvah for that Dur, for the Maktifim Bilvad. Or maybe it's a mitzvah of the J-Race. And if so, then it belongs in the Targum Mitzvahs, but I'm not ready to finalize that because I'm unsure. So okay, Adkan the Divrei HaRamban. Then the Malbim says that there's an interesting Morgan of Rome. The Morgan of Rome quotes from the Arizal that the Arizal talking about the Zechirois, he says that there's a minhag, never mind what's a mitzvah deraisa, not a mitzvah deraisa, counts in the Targum Mitzvahs, doesn't count in the Targum Mitzvahs. But the Arizal says that there's a inyan, a kavona to have in mind when you're davening. That in the bracha of Avas Olam, or Avarava, we say by Shachris, the care of Tonu Hashem Alekeinu L'Shimucha Agadol, V'Hoydes L'cha, Se'alechedcha, Se'zok the Arizal, the care of Tonu Hashem Alekeinu, when you say those words, you're supposed to remember Maimon Har Sinai. That's the one that we didn't mention yet of the Sheish Zechirois, right? The Yemes Sharmat L'Fneim Hashem Alekecha B'Chayvev. So you should have in mind the mitzvah of Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai by the care of Tonu Hashem Alekeinu. L'shimcha ha-gadol, have in mind the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Why is L'shimcha ha-gadol shayach to Amalek? Because Amalek ain't Hashem Shalim ad Shem Achash Moshal Amalek. So L'shimcha ha-gadol, you have in mind Zechiras Amalek. L'shimcha ha-gadol, l'hoydeis l'cha, there you have in mind the Zechira of Maisa Miriam. Because l'hoydeis l'cha means to use my mouth for good things and not Chas Shalom for Lashon Hara. So that's l'hoydeis l'cha. So the Rizal says at least three of the Zechirais are alluded to in that bracha. And Zach the Magen Avram. Okay, and of course, and then Mitzrayim is not, but that we have a whole bracha about right after Kriya Shema. There's a bracha about Kriya Shema, and Shabbos is also not okay. But Shabbos, we take care of on Shabbos. These other three that Rizal says are alluded to in the bracha of Abba Salam. What about the sixth one? So he says that you don't make a zechira for that. It's gnusim shel Yisrael. No, it's embarrassing for Klal Yisrael. It really brings out our lowest point. It's a disgrace for Klal Yisrael. So it's no inyan to go saying that all the time. So therefore, in these remuzim of the Arizal, we leave out the Eisa Sharek Tzavta. No, that's not Gnus Mishal Yisrael. I said it's the Gnus Mishal Miriam. I hear, but it's not Gnus Mishal Yisrael. At least that he does include. Okay, so coming back to the Malbim. The Malbim says so. Here's two Marmokaimis that we just learned. One is that the Ramban speculates that maybe Eitz Asherik Tzavta should be included in the Targum Mitzvahs. That there's a mitzvah to remember the Chet HaEgel. And two, there's a Magen Avram that says that we have an aversion to talking about the Chet HaEgel because it's Gnus Mishal Yisrael. So Zok the Malbim, I suspect that what Tosis had in mind was that really there's a mitzvah to remember the Egel. But we can't do that mitzvah in an overt way because that's Gnus Mishal Yisrael. So we want to do it in an indirect way, kind of we want to look for a parsha that's merames to the Egel. What parsha is merames to the Chet HaEgel? That's Paraduma. Because right, why is it a par not a par? Because Tavar Ha'im is a Kaneich Tzoyas Habein. That and Rashi brings down from Moshe Adarshan that the reason why it's Aduma is because that redness symbolizes Averis. And why is it Tamima, or Aduma Tamima? Tamima because that's where we lost our Tamimus. And why is it burnt? Because it's like Moshe Rabbeinu came and burnt up the Egel. And the reason I think is why it's done by Elazar and not by Aaron is because in Kategan Asanega, all these connections to the Egel, or Moshe Rashi brings down from Moshe Dash and 6 or 7 connections between the Paraduma and the Chet HaEgel. So Zok the Malbim and the Teret Mima, that maybe that's the pshat in Parshas Parah being Deiraisa, that it's a kiyum of the inyan of remembering the Chet HaEgel, but with this sensitivity of the Magen Avraham, that Gnusim Shel Yisrael, so instead of the Parshas HaEgel, we do the Parshas Parah Aduma because it's an allusion to the Chet HaEgel. And that's the hezber for this chiddush of Tosis, that Parshas Parah could be Deiraisa. So that's what the Malbim and the Teres Mima want to suggest to be Masbir this Tosfos based on the Ramban. But I think it's kedai to point out that while it could be, it's plausible to say this Bedas Tosfos, but they're basing it on Ramban. The Ramban really has a very different approach to this. This is a Ramban. It's a worthwhile Ramban to know. Legame Parsha Zachar. That we take it as a given that Zachar is Deiraisa, because of course, because it's Mitzvah Deiraisa, remembering Amalek. So Parsha Zachar is Deiraisa, everybody has to come to shul, we give a clap, everybody should have in mind now that you're being Yotze the Mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Truth is, it's not a real pashut. The Ramban disagrees with this. The Ramban says that although, yes, there's a Mitzvah Deiraisa of Zechiras Amalek, but it's not a Mitzvah of a recitation, of a Kriyas HaTorah. It's a mitzvah of the collective national memory. There's a mitzvah that we have to keep the memory alive. So parents have to teach their children about Amalek. How often do you have to? There's no shiur, once a day, once a year, it means that you have to make sure that, if you're a principal and you're designing a curriculum for a elementary school, Yeshiva Katana, so, I don't know, put it into the third grade, the sixth grade, the eighth grade, you make sure the kids come out knowing the story of Amalek. That's the mitzvah of Zachar Yitzhak Shrasel HaAmalek, that kids have to grow up knowing the story. But it has nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah. That's the Ramban's explanation of Zachiris HaAmalek. And which means, and the Ramban says, Mefurish, that according to him, Parshas Zachar is not Deiraisa. It's right. It's a kind of Arab parashia. Yeah, you read it before Purim because, it's just like you read Shkolim, the beginning of Adar, because Mashmim Allah Shkolim. It's not a kiyum of Mitzvah Deiraisa, but it's a kind of the Rabbanan that we should read that at this time of year. It's seasonal. It's a nice Kriyas HaTorah for this time of year. So Chazal Masakin to read it. Same as Chodesh is a nice Kriyas, that's this coming Shabbos. It's a nice appropriate Kriyas HaTorah for the week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We read a Chodesh Zalachem. So Zohar also is a nice appropriate Kriyas HaTorah for the week before Purim. Because Haman was, from Ha'agagi, from Mizera Amalek, but...
Could it be Yaitse when you read it?
In Kiseitse?
Yeah.
Yep, you could be Yaitse then also. Again, meaning according to Tosis, you could be Yaitse then also. According to the Ramban, you don't need to be Yaitse with the Kriyas HaTorah. According to the Ramban, it has nothing... The Kriyas HaTorah is the Rabbanon, and it's just an inyan of teaching your children about it. And then the Ramban says the same thing about Zechiras Ma'aseh Miriam. He said, the Ramban says, even though the Rambam left it out, I hold it belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs. But does that mean I hold we have to make a special Kriyas HaTorah for it, or give a klap to have in mind on Parshas Kiseitse? No, you don't have to, it has nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah. It has to do with remembering, not telling Lashon Hara. Trying to be careful in the Isser Lashon Hara, and being aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes these things seriously, like what he did to Miriam. So if you go through life with that awareness, then you're Yaitse in the midst of Zechiras Amalek, Zechiras Ma'aseh Miriam. But it's not a Kriyas HaTorah. Which means that according to the Ramban, even if we accept this Malbim, that we're trying to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Zechar al Tishkach Yaitse Sharek Safs Hashem Lekecha Bamidbar, that wouldn't be a Kriyas HaTorah. And it wouldn't make Parshas Parah Deiraisa. So, Lefi the Ramban, it doesn't work. But Tosfos, who holds that Parashat Zachar is Deiraisa because of the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, which means that Tosfos holds that this Zechira is a real Kriyas HaTorah. So if Tosfos also holds that remembering the Ma'aseh HaEgel is Deiraisa, then there should be a Kriyas HaTorah for it. But so we're taking a musik that we found in the Ramban, and then we're applying it to Tosfos without any makor that Tosfos holds that way. But okay, it could be that Tosfos holds that way. So this is the Shtickel Torah. But I just mean to be pointing out that it's we're basing it on the Ramban, but the Ramban himself is not going to go this way. Okay, but al-Kapanim, this is the Mahalach that they say to explain the Shita that Paros Deiraisa. It's interesting, the Malbim go so far as to say that how come other Rishonim don't hold this way? meaning we have a Das Yochid Taisvis, right? There's a Taisvis that says that Paras Deraisa, but we don't find anywhere else that Paras Deraisa. So I might have said, yeah, because this whole thing is a very far-fetched Chiddush and it's based on so many speculations. But the Malbim doesn't say that. The Malbim says, this is really, it's a very nice Shulchan Torah. Paras should be Deraisa. So how come other Rishonim hold that it's not Deraisa? It says, oh, the Machlokes says those two Tzedakim in the Ramban about whether Eisa Sherech Tzavta is a mitzvah Deraisa or lemaktzif and vilvad. Those that say that par is derabanan, they'll hold that the mitzvah of zachar al tishkach eis sharek tzafta was only talking that to the dar hamidbar. But the taisis that holds that no parshas paras deiraisa holds that it's a mitzvah of deiraisa. Kiilu, this whole argument was so compelling that we need to find a reason why anybody would argue, which is surprising that the Malbim took it to that extent. But al kapanim, the Malbim says that he has an acceptable explanation for why Taisus would hold that Parshas Paras Deraisa. Now, I want to add on sort of me'inyan le'inyan, sort of Baisa Yinyan. We just were saying over the Ramban about Zechiras Miriam. The Ramban in two places says that we should add to our list of Tariq mitzvahs the mitzvah of Zechar Eisash Asa Hashem Lekachel Miriam. And it means an Inyan of remembering about Yitzias, remembering about Lashon Hara. You know, being careful and conscious about the Isra of Lashon Hara and aware of how seriously HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it. Look what he did to Miriam. That's the Inyan of this mitzvah. So there's, of course, everyone knows the Chafetz Chaim, wrote a sefer devoted to Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim he wrote two svarim. Right? There's the sefer Chafetz Chaim and there's the sefer Shmir Salashon. Chafetz Chaim has the Hilchos Lashon Hara and Rechilus. He wrote, I think, put it out in two volumes. Now it's always printed together, but he put it out in two volumes, Hilchos Lashon Hara, Hilchos Rechilus, and then the third volume is Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. I think it's already not under the title of Chavetz Chaim. It's called Shmiras HaLashon. Nowadays, I think generally, you know, you buy a Sefer Chavetz Chaim, it has all of it. But it was published as three separate works, and the significance is, and therefore there's three different sets of Haskamais. Now the Chavetz Chaim, there's often interesting stories with his Haskamais. I don't know if we ever talked about this, how he has different people giving haskamos on his different svarim. There's these svarim, and then there's, of course, the Mishnah Berurah and other svarim that he wrote, the Avos Chesed, which has haskamos, and it's fascinating how so many different people that gave haskamos to different svarim. But there's a haskama on the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. Again, that's the last volume of the Chafetz Chaim. There's a haskama from Rabbi Tzalah HaKohen of Vilna. He was one of the Yonim of Vilna in the second half of the 1800s. There were two brothers, Reb Tzalah HaKohen and I'm not sure, I think maybe Reb Shlomo HaKohen, I'm not sure. This is Reb Tzalah HaKohen of Vilna. We've talked about him before. He was the one who once talking about Birchas Kehanim. He said in a trip to Italy that he saw that over there they have one Kohen saying the Birchas Kehanim for everybody else, and then the Beis HaLevi wrote a piece against that, and we once gave a shir on that. Anyway, Reb Tzalah HaKohen Vilna wrote a haskama for the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, for Chavetz Chaim, but it's a bizarre haskama. You've never seen anything like it. Because, you know, usually a haskama is, you know, all very polite and sort of light reading. He, you know, talks about how what a great Talmid Chacham this person is and what a fine sefer he wrote. Or sometimes what an average Talmid Chacham this is and what an average sefer he wrote, but, you know, just in a polite way. But in this Haskama, there's it's like a Bar Mitzvah Pshetel. There's a solid page and a half of Lamedus, of Lamedus Shtikol Torah. What's it doing as a Haskama to a sefer? So you'll see at the end. So bear with me for a short Bar Mitzvah Pshetel. He brings down this Ramban. The Ramban says that we're going to count the mitzvah of Zachar Yisrael Hashem Lekach and Miriam as a mitzvah deraisa. The Ramban, I spoke about before, very briefly, the Ramban said that it's based on a sefra where it says that Zachar means bepeh. Oy ena yala belev, lest you say that no, it just means mentally you should have it in mind. It already says he's shomer b'nei gatzaras. So Hare Belev Omer, that already tells me that you have to be aware. He's Shomer B'negas, so that means you have to be aware of the Inyan of Tzras and Lashon Hara. So what's the extra pasuk of Zachar Esa Sharasa Shomer Kaka Lemiriam? That's to teach me B'peh, that you have to verbalize it. So the fact that there's a mitzvah to verbally Zechiras Miriam is based on the fact that Hashem Menega Tzeras already tells me about the mental Zechira. But the Gemara in Shabbos uses the pasuk Hashem Menega Tzeras for something entirely different. Hashem Menega Tzeras teaches us the Isser of Ktitzas Beheres. That if somebody discovers a nega, so he can't go to a surgeon and have it cut off, have a dermatologist take it off, and then, you know, make believe that nothing ever happened. You have to go to a kohen and show him the nega. And if you have a dermatologist take it off, you're violating the mitzvah of hishamer b'nega tzaras. That's how the Gemara darshens it, and that's how the Rambam brings it down the halacha. Zok b'sal ha-kohen, so that's why the Rambam l'shitasai didn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. Because the Ramban said that he only got Zechiras Miriam to teach him a Zechir B'peh, because Zechir B'leiv was already learned from Hashem B'nega Tzeras. But according to the Rambam, that Hashem B'nega Tzeras is something else entirely, for Ktitzas Beheres, so then there's nothing forcing us that the Zechir Miriam should be Zechir B'peh. Maybe that just means a Zechir B'leiv, so there's no makar for Zechir B'peh. So that's why the Rambam left it out. The Ramban went with this Sifra, that Darshan says, Shem HaMenei gets harassed to teach me Zechir B'Leiv, and then once I know Zechir B'Leiv, so then Zachar is teaching me Zechir B'Peh, so he included in the Minyan of Mitzvahs. Why would he go like the Sifra against the Talmud Bavli? The Machlag is Rambam and Ramban, it's really Machlag against the Talmud Bavli against the Sifra, so why would the Ramban start with the Sifra? So he says that there's a way to learn in the Gemara that there's a Machlagis. You know, the Gemara says this Drasha, but if you look over there in the Shalka Vitaria, there's a later on, Ravashi says something. You could learn that Ravashi is arguing on the previous Gemara. So, okay, that's he works out those details. Again, I said it's a long pshatol. So he says there's a machlaikis rishonim, how to learn the pasuk of Yishomer. And then depending on what you do with the pasuk of Yishomer, that'll determine whether Zachar is teaching us a new mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam or not. Then he says, that pasuk of Yishomer, that's the previous pasuk, Yishomer Menegat Saras. How does the pasuk continue? I'm not sure I'll remember all the words. Yishomer Menega Tzeras, I think, Lishmer Ma'oid V'Lasais, Kechol Asher Yeru Eschem HaKayanim Alevim. Something like that. That he says, you should be careful of Menega Tzeras to follow all the instructions of the Kehanim. So Bishlomo coined to the Rambam that Yishomer Menega Tzeras is teaching me the Isser of Ktitzas Beheres. So then I understand why the Pasuk then brings us into the Kehanim. Right? You be careful with your negatzeras, hishamer, and the isek tzitzis beheres. Don't bring it to a dermatologist. Who do you bring it to? You bring it to a kohen, and you follow the instructions of the kohen. So the pasuk flows very naturally. Hishamer negatzeras, don't cut it off. Rather, lishamer ma'ayi v'lasik, z'chol sh'yeyu reschem ha'kayinam alaviyim. But according to the Ramban, that hishamer negatzeras, he doesn't follow the Talmud Bavli, he follows the Sifra. Hishamer negatzeras means to remember. To remember what happened, to remember the story, to think about the Chaimer Inyan of Lashon Hara and how Lashon Hara brings to Tzeras. That's the Zechir B'Leiv, and then since that's the Zechir B'Leiv, so I know the following pasuk is Zechir B'Peh. But okay, but the pasuk of Shemar Menegat Tzeras is teaching me Zechir B'Leiv about the Isser Lashon Hara. So how do you read the pasuk? Shemar Menegat Tzeras, Lishmar Ma'oid, V'Lasis, Kechol Asher Yeru, Eschem HaKayanim Alevim. What's the role of the Kehanim in the Issa Lashon Hara, in the Zahiris of the Issa Lashon Hara? What does that have to do with Kehanim? So he says, so from here I see, from this Ramban, L'chere it's Muchach, that there is a special role that the Kehanim have, the guy with the Mitzvah of Lashon Hara. That when you bring a nega to a Kohen, he's not just supposed to look at it as a doctor or even as a rabbi, you know, to tell you Tomei, Tahar, Musker, Muchlat. He's also supposed to have it's part of the pastoral duties of the rabbi. He's supposed to talk to you about what this is all about. Oh, I see, you know, maybe she's sending you a message. Lashon Hara, it's very important. You have to think about, you know, be mefashrish ma'asecha. What did you say? What did you do? Why did this happen to you? Part of the mitzvah of Re'iyas Negoyim is that the kohen should be ma'ira people to take Lashon Hara more carefully. So from this Ramban, we boirois a brand new chiddush, that part of the mitzvah of the kohanim is to be ma'ir people on the chaymer inyan of lashon hara, and it was a lost mitzvah of kohanim. That, you know, this part of the mitzvah of kahuna, and it was lost. Mm-hmm. Now we come to that. Now we come to the punchline. We see why this is a haskama. But we have in our dar one kohen, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen, who's being machzer atara liyishna, who's, that takes this mitzvah seriously, and he's being mekayim on all of our behalves, because remember, the author of this haskama is also a kohen, Rav Tzal HaKohen, and he's being mitzvah all of us to do this mitzvah kahuna of being ma'ir of the people about the chayim ha'inyan of Lashon Hara. Okay.